Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Fred Monroe will be talking with the folks from the Family Care Network. Join Fred as we'll learn more about the role of the Family Care Network and its work supporting the efforts in parents within our community. We invite you to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation, and we are able to take your phone calls today during the program at 805-781-3875. And with that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. This is Fred, of course, and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm glad to be with you today. Our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. I really do the best to make sure that the topics that we're sharing with you are both important to you and important to the community and may, in some cases, answer questions you hadn't thought about. There are too many children and youth in our community who lack loving family support in their daily lives, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Trauma often results from negative family experiences, abuse, neglect, or generational challenges, and can make daily life for some children a challenge and make it also a challenge for the parents and the adults that work with them. It should never be this way, but in some cases it is. Today, join me as we talk with three dedicated staff members from the Family Care Network. We'll repeat that phrase often, and we'll answer what it really is a number of times for you. It's a remarkable long-term resource within San Luis Obispo County. The network has been a supporting entity, supporting and working on the needs of foster parents and foster families. For clarification, and we'll probably explain this three or four times, Family Care Network is an independent public nonprofit organization, associated with and working with the county foster care program, and we'll share with you the difference in those regards because it will come up and it has come up before in a regular topic. We will take your calls. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. We encourage you to call in early with your questions or observations because sometimes we run out of time to take your calls. If you choose to call in and have a question and you really don't want to be on the air live or don't want your name used, that is certainly fine with us. You can talk to our producer and they'll take your question and pass it on to us without your being part of the discussion live if you have a concern with that. My guests today are Jeff Carlson, who is the CEO of the Family Care Network, Jim Mudge, who is a foster family development specialist, and Lupita Ducharme, who is the manager of development. This is a program we've talked about before, and I am surprised at the number of people who have heard of this organization or seen the name on your building, both in North County and South County, in San Luis Obispo, and have absolutely no idea what the Family Care Network is. So I will leave it to the three of you to explain for us generally what you do and why you do it.
Great. Well, thanks, Fred. Great for having us here. And I think just I'll begin with our mission. So the mission of Family Care Network is to enhance the well-being of children, adults, and families in partnership with our community. So this is a great example here with KCBX to partner with you and kind of get the word out about what we do. We have been operating here in San Luis Obispo County for over 38 years. So we started in 1987. We currently operate about 30 different services, which for some can be confusing. So we tried to keep it simple. And we are going to keep it simple by saying we have four pillars of services. So we have hope, stability, support, and empowerment. So under each of those pillars, we have service lines. So today we're going to be talking about foster care, and that falls under our hope. And we also provide a lot of services to foster families, which are under that hope pillar. We have stability, and so we offer a lot of housing and housing support, transitional housing for adults and families, as well as transitional housing for youth who are aging out of the foster care and or juvenile justice system. And then our support is that's all of our behavioral health sort of services, providing home, services to families, children, and adults as we are serving them in the community, just addressing their mental health needs. And then empowerment is our final one, and that's really helping youth who are aging out of the foster care system and giving them the tools and resources and empowering them to be adults and become adults. And so those are the four kind of categories. Yeah.
The concept or the discussion about aging out
yes.
has come into play a lot recently because I guess for a long time that was an area of foster care that that didn't get enough attention.
Correct, yeah.
So that what has changed in the way the aging out process is looked at? And I realize that will sort of sending us working backwards from
yeah,
there.
That's fine.
But I think that becomes a key factor because when you age out, you age out by your age, so it's not like
correct.
You can work on it for a long time.
Correct. There is a finite number where you are going to age out of the system. I think and going back to what we'll talk about today more is about how to become a foster parent. But I think we do have youth that are coming out of foster care who have not been adopted or don't have services or supports, either family members or community that are supporting them. So one of our programs is serving what we call transitional age youth, and that is youth who are generally at the low end, 16 up to 25 years of age. One of our specific programs that we have 41 beds throughout the county, and that is transitional housing program for those youth who are coming out of either foster care or juvenile justice. And so our goal in that program is really to help them and equip them and support them through housing. It's kind of a housing first model. We want to house them and keep them secure and stable. And then they need to be enrolled in school or in some sort of job or job training program to be a part of that program.
So typically, if we are looking at the teen years mm-hmm. of a child in a conventional family setting, that usually involves an extended family that will help them get into college, yeah. help them find housing, have a family member or a yeah. cousin, an aunt or an uncle, which may help them with housing. But when you're dealing with foster children, in most cases you're dealing with foster children because they don't have those resources
correct.
On a daily basis.
That's right. Yeah, and as a parent of three adult young men, there's a lot of support needed from 18 to 25. Mm-hmm. Financial support, emotional support, a place to stay, all those things to help them transition through into adulthood, right, into independence. And I think that's what we try and do in these programs and services is really supporting them and getting them on their feet and become independent. And it's a great program. And it really is supporting last from July 1 to December, we had 12 youth that graduated out of that program, have become fully independent and living on their own, either through educational supports and educational transition or through some sort of job or trade school, being able to live on their own now.
Yeah. I think one of the things that happens in the foster care community or the foster care perception of people not involved in the program is – how do I word this? Good foster care may often mean that the foster child is not seen by the rest of the community around them as a foster child.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a foster child in my household, probably the best thing I can offer that child as – and this may be completely wrong and you can correct me – is the ability to be part of a family where foster child is not the operative thing about them. They're my child. They're mm-hmm. part of my family. And I think that's – so the extended community around me, which may be a teacher at school, may be my next-door neighbor, may be a coworker that I have at work, they're not going to see that child as any different than my birth child.
Yeah.
But that's not the – that may be an oversimplification of life for the average foster child, and I'm wondering – is one of the first things you end up looking at when you deal with a child moving into foster care is explaining to them what's happening. They know what's happening in their life, or they may not know, but they'd like to understand. what's happening that got them into foster care environment, but they may have no idea what they're getting out of the experience and what's it's leading to. I mean, I don't believe there's an introductory class on being a foster child for the kids involved, and I'm sure that some of these kids are too young to understand that if there was such a program. Mm-hmm. How do you broach that particular barrier, if you will?
Well, that's a loaded question. And it's a good question, and we could spend several hours discussing what that means. But a good foster home, a good foster parent is trained sufficiently and has the heart, the mind, and the soul to view and accept a youth coming into their home as one of their own, recognizing that they're not, but doing all the good work to make this youth feel integrated and welcome into their home, because that youth that's coming in not only has experienced trauma from their own biological parents, but the actual act of removing a youth out of their home is a traumatic experience. So then that's the next step of trauma. And then there's the next step of trauma that they're coming into a home that they don't know these people. So the, you know, in a sense, you look at the odds are kind of stacked against the youth when they first come in. And so it's really the job of the foster parent and then with Family Care Network, the team that we have around this foster family to give this youth the confidence that they're in a safe spot, that they're going to be well cared for. And that's a daily task of a foster parent and a foster family. And really, it's a daily task of a Family Care Network to take care of this youth and giving them the safe space to be who they are, to tell them that they're going to be okay, that they're going to live in a home where they don't have to, A, be traumatized, but B, feel confident enough to be able to speak their mind and speak about and live a life that we're going to try to normalize to a certain degree so that they have a sense of empowerment and a sense of confidence in who they are.
There's a balance there as you spoke about that. By the way, that was Jim Mudge speaking. I'm sorry. I have not been real clear about who's who on the guests here. Those are the kind of things that will be a dilemma for the child. In a lot of cases, I am assuming you're dealing with someone who is a foster parent for the first time. Mm. What's the first question you get? I mean, I realize they receive some training through you, some training through the county social services department, but it's got to be a dilemma. That first step in the door, mm-hmm. It's like, how do I do this? You know, mm-hmm. Gee, it's Thursday. Next Monday, I'm getting this foster child in my home, and I'm doing this for the first time. And the people I'm working with in the county and through Family Care Network have confidence in me, but I'm frightened.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you said that I may be, it's Thursday and I might be getting a kid on Monday. It could actually be Thursday afternoon and I may be getting a kid Thursday night, right? So it's you could.
Well, I was trying to not be an alarmist.
No, but I think it's really important that a lot of these things that take place in the county, they're happening at kind of lightning speed because it might be the same day. It might be within a couple of hours that this is going to be taking place. And then, yeah, using your scenario also, it could be a couple of days before a kid comes into care. Either way, yes, you're right. A foster parent, it's kind of the Cal Poly motto, you learn by doing.
Learn by doing.
You can get trained all you want. And we do a lot of training. We train our foster parents at minimum 40 hours of training hours. And then if they go into our specialized programs, it could be up to 55 hours of total training, which sounds great, and it is great. And our training is absolutely ample for the head knowledge. But when you start needing to connect that heart and your head together and getting your whole body-soul component ready for a youth, it's not until that youth hits your doorstep. And it really does. It is a bit of a stressful, frightening experience for the foster parent. That's, again, where Family Care Network comes in. We will have people with the foster parent that first night when we do the placement, and we're going to work through whatever issues there might be. We have a 24/7 call line for our foster parents so that they can call at any time of the night if there's some struggles that they're going through or the youth is going through. And then we also have support specialists and social workers who are available anytime to help our foster parents through it. So a lot of times we need to talk them down sometimes from their stresses. Sometimes we need to kind of build them up and say, hey, you need to be a little bit more proactive in how you're doing things. It can kind of go both ways. Sometimes foster parents are afraid to say too much because they're afraid of upsetting the youth, or sometimes they say too much. So there's always a lot of tweaking and kind of negotiating and counsel and conversation around how the foster parent needs to react to the youth. And then every youth is different, which means every interface that a foster parent has with that youth has to be adjusted. So to become a foster parent is to accept that your life is going to change forever for the good. If you're open to learning and if you're open to having your soul kind of ripped open a little bit and really kind of get the understanding that what you're doing probably the most amazing thing that you could ever do. But in doing that, you have to be vulnerable and transparent and open, not only with the staff members, but also with the youth that's in your home, and let yourself crumble if you need to crumble a little bit. Let yourself fall apart a little bit, not typically in front of the youth. But when you're taking that break and you're like, oh my gosh, this has been a lot. That's a really good thing. I love to hear a foster parent say, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, I don't like it, I don't know if I can do this. You know, it's just all these different things that start kind of coming out of their mouth. You're like, yeah, good. You're feeling what it is to be completely and totally impacted by taking care of someone who's not your own.
Yeah. As you explain that, and thank you, that's a very good explanation. One of the things that comes to mind is, are there resources available if I'm a new or starting foster parent? Is there a mutual support group to get available? I guess to be somewhat candid without it sounding callous, can you give me the names and phone numbers of some other foster parents that I can talk to? Because I'd like a better understanding, and I feel like I've picked your brain for way too long in this process. Yeah. Is that kind of mutual support environment available?
Absolutely. We have seasoned foster parents who've been doing this for years who take on a mentorship role. So when we have a new foster parent come in, typically as they get their first placement and they start going through things, we will identify a foster parent who's been doing this work for a while and ask them to be a resource for the new foster parents so that they can talk offline about how they're feeling and what they're going through. We also have a foster parent support group. So we meet monthly. It's usually online. And our foster parents can just basically chime in and just talk about not super case-specific things, but just how they're feeling and what they're going through. And then myself and then my colleague Julia, we're part of a small little unit that goes through the certification process, but we're also there to support our foster parents. So we give them multiple channels through which to communicate with. So foster parents directly, myself and Julia, and then for myself, I'm also a former foster parent and have adopted two children, my wife and I have through the years. So I can kind of speak into their lives with my own experience.
That's a very good way of explaining this is not a philosophical topic for you.
This is not a
reality topic.
Foster parenting is not a philosophical endeavor at all. You can gyrate yourself all you want in your head about it, but it's until your feet hit the ground, it's very practical.
Yeah. We're speaking with folks today from the Family Care Network, which is a which is a very extensive organization working with foster children and foster parents, and we'll explain it more as we go on. You're welcome to give us a call. The phone number is 805-781-3875. We would love to hear your conversation or your thoughts. Have you considered being a resource parent? And do you know anyone who has that you might want to share with us? What would encourage you to consider participating in this program? These are questions we would love to hear from you if you'd like to share that with us. Again, 805-781-3875. I also need to apologize to my listeners, but this is something we need to always look at. We're in the middle of Pledge Drive here at KCBX also. It's spring Pledge Drive is underway, and you can help us towards our goal of $220,000. Your support for KCBX is vital and helps us pay for the programming like this and be part of this conversation. Becoming a new member or renewing your support would be great at kcbx.org, or you can also call 800-549-8855. We twice a year get to ask you that because that's what keeps things going here from our standpoint. There is no more federal funding for public radio, and we need to think long and hard about how the community supports it. So that's part of something to think about from that standpoint. I guess the question that comes up is, how is what Family Care Network does differently and as a kind of an interconnected program with county social services?
Yeah.
Because I suspect every county in the country does not have an organization like Family Care Network, even though it would be great if they did. And I'm sure you've helped other communities set up programs like this.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we are working, again, in partnership with the County Department of Social Services. So as we have stated, I think that the youth that we're serving are coming as a referral from the county. So I think the county also has foster homes that they're overseeing and supervising too. I think our program specifically, usually the youth that we are serving, I would say, are on the low end. The ages are around 8 to 10, on the high end up to 17. So it's a older age group typically, and generally their needs and kind of our level of homes are a higher level of care. So the fancy word is intensive services foster care, ISFC. So that's a big word that we use that just says this is the level of care that these youth are needing. And that's where kind of Jim and his team really show and train those families fully to accept those youth who are needing those higher level of care. In addition, those referrals are coming from potentially those youth may have been in a county foster home maybe and weren't successful in that because of their needs and whether behavioral issues or their mental health issues, then they'll be served and transferred into one of our homes to receive services.
How many or what percentage of the families or the children that you deal with come from an environment where their need for foster care literally is, I had a family and the resources I needed yesterday, and today I have no family left. Some drastic examples might be a husband and wife in a very effective family with one or two children, and maybe they die in a car crash or a plane crash. And all of a sudden, that family's gone.
Yeah,
that's something that happens very quickly. Versus a family where there may be involvement with either abuse or drug problems, or other mental health issues that may mean the child's move into care is a more extended process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll make a couple of comments about that, but then I'll let Jim clean it up. I would say that for the most part, like philosophically, how foster care works is that they are trying to keep that youth either in a family member's home, ideally in the home that maybe their bio parents are a part of, right? So if there was some issue where the parents, there was some abuse or things, if the child's not directly in danger and the parents needed just some education, the county's goal and our goal too is to help support that child to stay in the home. Secondarily, if that child can't stay in the home, then the child would go into maybe a relative or what we call a non-relative family member, someone who is adjacent or is like an aunt or an uncle, so that they're with someone they know, right? And so that's what we're trying to do in this process is move them. So in your scenarios, if there was an immediate need to help a child, the first glance, we would try and find someone who's close, family member, a relative or a non-relative or a fictive relative, to place that child in. If those were not available, then they would go into a county foster home or mm-hmm. referred to Family Care Network to be placed in one of our homes. So it's really trying to provide, I would say, the least restrictive or the least out-of-home care is one of the words that we use, to keep them in a family member's home. And then if they need services and support, that's where some of our services at Family Care go into the home and provide wraparound services or specific behavioral health services to maintain that child's placement in the home.
I would think about the fact that foster care is a long-term process. I mean, it may be a child that's 5 or 6 that is in foster care until they age out. Mm-hmm. But as you were commenting, it occurred to me that there may be situations where whatever the need for foster care is based upon the lack of reliable support from parents may be a, if we're really lucky, a solvable problem.
Right.
You don't know that going in, but you may get some understanding of what the solvable problems are right. from experience.
Right. Yeah, and just as an example, we have another program through our housing support program called Bringing Families Home. So some of those scenarios in that program, if a child's removed due to neglect or maybe the family is homeless and they can't provide a safe environment for the child will be removed. But then this program comes alongside those families, helps them find stable housing because that is the only barrier to getting those children mm-hmm. back into the home. So then we get them into transitional housing, and then the county would then reassess the ability of those parent or parents to care for that child, and then they would place them back in once they have stable housing. Because there's various – I mean, we could go through hundreds of scenarios mm-hmm. of why children are removed.
We have another half an hour.
Okay, sure. So that's all the different ways that we as an organization are trying to serve and support throughout different stages. This foster care program and what we are recruiting for as far as foster parents is one of those pieces of this kind of continuum of care from keeping the child in the home to supporting the child maybe in an out-of-home placement to then providing higher level of service for that youth if they need higher level of service in a more specialized foster home.
Yeah. And then, you know, just to kind of dovetail on what Jeff said, so that's trying to keep families intact. And the state's also working through a lot of what's called voluntary family maintenance programs, trying to keep the family intact and bringing services into the home and not trying to prevent the child even coming into care. So that's one another thing that we're doing at that level. But on the other side, it was a very common practice all the way up until about 10 years ago for what a lot of people would call a very troubled teen, we would just put them in a group home or put them in a residential program. Well, as we've gone along, the scenario is trying to reduce the number of kids coming in or going into group home care because there's plenty of studies that have shown that it's traumatizing and it's a lot of times it just doesn't work. I mean, bottom line. So what Family Care Network is doing is we are training up our foster parents essentially bringing some group home level services into a family environment, thereby providing the youth the support, whether it's behavioral health, whether it's, you know, just working through with their trauma, whether it's keeping them in a safe environment, all those things so that they don't have to be, again, not only taken out of their county and put into some residential program in a different part of the state, but they're going to be able to stay in a family environment where we're going to bring that level of service to the home. So it's from all different sides. We're really trying to work and preserve these kids from being disrupted at any given time.
I want to revisit that when we have to take a break here. We'll be a minute or so. But we'll come back to that, because the thought that the question I want to work on is ways in which you can keep a family together that may be still supported through the efforts of Family Care Network. So I'll turn it back over to engineering, and we'll be back with you in a moment. This is Central Coast Voices. We're talking with folks today from the Family Care Network, and hope you're part of the discussion. Give us a call at 805-781-3875. Gladly to talk to you after the break, and we'll turn it back to Brad.
And just a real quick question for you, Fred. How many years have you been hosting Central Coast Voices now?
I've lost track. It's at least 15.
At least 15. And how many years have you been volunteering and working with KCBX?
Oh, gosh, it goes back to Live Oak. So I actually was a Live Oak volunteer for over 30 years now.
Okay, that's a really good point, and thank you very much. We'll return to Central Coast Voices in just a moment. My point with asking Fred this is he's a volunteer. He's committing his time, his energy to this station and its mission, which is to serve the community. And it's that kind of dedication that we find among so many people behind the scenes here at KCBX who are donating their time and their creativity because they believe in the mission of Central Coast Public Radio. And, we can't do it without the folks that are listening. We do it to share and service our community. And that's where we ask for you to step in a couple of times a year. And as you may or may not know, I'm sure you do, though, but local stations like KCBX now must raise funds to pay for direct and indirect expenses that federal funding used to cover. And these expenses include programming, infrastructure, music rights, satellite connections, all of the things that happen behind the scenes to make what happens in front of the microphone happen. Much like this program right here, over 15 years, Central Coast Voices has been bringing you the best of ideas here on the Central Coast. And our team of rotating hosts, they are volunteering their time and their creativity so that they can present this information to you on a weekly basis. So it's not too much to ask if maybe you could donate a little something to help us continue for another 50 years. Any amount is going to be appreciated, so don't think that you have to make a grand gesture, but anything will help us make our Spring Pledge Drive goal, and we are going to count on you to do that. It is the last day of our Spring Pledge Drive, so why don't you pick up the phone, give us a call. You can talk to the folks at the front desk at 805-549-8855, or if you'd prefer to do it online, you can do that at kcbx.org, but no matter which way you do it, just do it and help us make our goal during our Spring Pledge Drive. We'll return to Central Coast Voices in just a moment.
On the next Fresh Air, these days more and more Americans are betting on sports, but they're also betting on elections, award shows, and even the removal of foreign leaders, almost everything. Journalist McKay Coppins went inside that gambling world for The Atlantic. He'll share what he found and how it changed his perspective on betting. Join us.
Even as ski season melts away, some ski resorts are bringing in the profits with a pass you buy off-season.
We sold a season pass that people could use across all of the mountains that we own, and we sold it at a very low price.
I'm Kimberly Adams. How ski resort company Vail is changing the industry. Next time on Marketplace.
That's ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX. Fresh Air coming up from 3 to 4, followed by Marketplace from 4 to 4:30. Then it's All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. We are talking with folks from the Family Care Network, and it's a fascinating topic, and I want to emphasize for a moment the fact there are tremendous efforts that you put forth as an organization that people never know about, because one of the things that I would consider to be very important to foster care is that the kids and the families don't get kind of singled out to, oh, let's put them up there and we'll look at them and see what's going on. We want to make sure that they're an integral part of the community. And I suspect that becomes a challenge sometimes. You were talking before the break, Jim, about situations under which you'd prefer to keep a family intact. And that that hadn't even occurred to me as a key factor, but it indeed would be. But I'm wondering how that child or that child's situation comes to your attention.
So are you asking the question that how does the child's situation come to the general attention of the county or to Family Care Network?
To either organization, mm-hmm. because I'm sure there are situations where you're looking at the possibility of a child staying in a home, mm-hmm. but that requires probably as much, if not more, evaluation time and effort than removing a child from a home.
Sure. So what you're referring to back then is when the county is notified of potential abuse by a community member, by law enforcement, by whoever it might be, that's kind of starts the ball rolling, getting into investigations and county staff going out and doing investigations and talking to the parents, talking to the youth that they're old enough to have conversations with, also talking to people kind of surrounding the family itself. These are the kind of the very first forays into investigation, determination, and kind of starting to make some basic kind of setting up some basic parameters like what's going on with this family and what can we do? Can we bring some support into this family's home and along with the county and also with Family Care Network support to keep this family intact and try to work on services to keep the family going and keep them going? And that's something that we're always trying to look at. And as we've progressed throughout the years, that's something that's more and more being considered, recognizing that children staying with their parents is always something that we are looking to do. It's the most advantageous situation to do is to keep the kids with parents. So then at that point, we're gonna work on that. But if that's not working and the child needs to be removed from the home, and then they need to be removed from the home, and they're depending on their age, they may go into a shelter home for a couple of days, which Family Care Network operates, or they may come into a longer-term foster home that, again, that we operate or the county may operate. And then at that point, a whole host of other investigations and court proceedings and things like that are going to kick in, and the youth will stay in foster care until there's some further determination of next steps.
So as much as you work with the county on a regular basis, there are certain things that rest more with the county because they involve legal ramifications.
Correct.
And I'm wondering how is that are there clearly defined circumstances for that, or I suspect each case is a little different shade of gray.
The county operates. They are the de facto investigative body. We don't do our own investigations. We're there as a support for the county. When we kick in, it's usually an interface with the county, whether it could be behavioral services, whether it's child welfare services, or any of the other agencies that are in the county. We're there as a service provider. Mm-hmm. So we don't do the investigation. That's strictly on child welfare services through Department of Social Services.
And that could be an ongoing situation under any circumstances.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to become a foster parent or you want to support the efforts of Family Care Network beyond financial support, which I'm sure at some point you'll tell me about, what is the first step? Because I suspect there are people out there who've said, "Oh, gee, I would find it gratifying and rewarding to be a foster parent, and I have no idea how to do it." And to add to that, there are probably out there people who would be wonderful foster parents who have never been parents. Yeah. For whatever reason, they have never either adopted or given birth to a child.
Yeah.
And those questions, I'm sure, come up often. Mm-hmm. And I suspect some of those people could be some of your best resources based upon their motivation.
Yeah,
I would say – so one easy way, which will – you can go to our website, fcni.org, and there's a partner with us tab. And in that, you can go to the foster care link there. And there's a great kind of decision tree tool that really helps – ask you very specific questions. And going through that tool, then our staff get that, and we can have them begin that conversation with you if this is really a fit. But Jim and his team have designed that to, like, help you kind of craft, is this going to be a fit for us? I mean, obviously, you can reach out to Jim, too, and I'll let him speak into kind of the process when people do inquire and what it looks like after that, too.
Yeah, so when people call in or they go through the website and fill out a short little survey, which literally takes, you know, maybe a minute, it comes to me and basically I make first contact with the family. Typically, I have one or two phone conversations with them trying to understand their motivation, because that's really in the end what's most important. What's your motivation behind becoming a foster parent? If it is because they have felt this calling to be to do this, because I do look at foster parent, I look at it as a vocation. I think it's something that it's far beyond just a, I want to help the community. That's great. But beyond that, there is a certain level of calling, you know, that comes with this role. I do look at it as a job. And so I try to talk to them about that and see kind of where their mind's at. And at that point, if they have come in, they're kind of in that mindset where they want to do things, we go out, my colleague Julie and I, we go out and we do an orientation with them. We spend about 2 hours going through and discussing what Family Care Network, who we are as an agency, and then drilling down into what foster care looks like with Family Care Network. And at that point, we'll either leave it at that and let them chew through things and talk through things and see if it's something they want to do. Or a lot of times they're like, hey, we want to jump and we want to get into it. And so at that point, they start the application process with us. They complete applications. Then they go through what's called a background check. We do vet our parents quite substantially. It's almost as much as being vetted for law enforcement. So it's in depth and it's thorough because it's obviously the safety of the youth is absolutely critical for that. Once they're there at that point and cleared their background, we then begin the intensive training for 40 to 55 hours of training, collect all sorts of certain documents, and basically create their create a folder that contains all their trainings, all their vital documents. We do home inspections. We continue to speak with them and talk with them. And then at that point, once they're certified, after about typically 4 to 5 months is our goal to get a home certified. At that point, they're certified, and we let the county know that we have a new home available to Family Care Network and for county youth. And then at that point, the foster parent sits back and waits. And typically that wait's very short, probably a couple of days.
I would suspect that wait is healthier than the wait for a child to find a placement.
Yeah.
What happens to children who you can't find a placement for right away?
Well, we do operate emergency shelter homes, so and we do provide that for the county. We are the shelter home provider for all county youth. Typically, those kids that come into county shelter are 10 to 17. However, if we are sitting here at 10 or 11 o'clock at night and there is a baby or a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old and there's literally nowhere for them to go, if we need to, we would utilize one of our shelter homes for that youth. We're not going to let a youth go without a bed. They're going to put their head on a pillow. And obviously our goal is that pillow is in someone's home. And yes, the rumors are true that there have been times when the kids have been in office spaces with a cot and a bed, and that was back in the day, but that is not happening anymore, fortunately. But we're going to put that kid's head on a pillow in someone's home that night.
I would suspect if you needed to put a child on a cot in an office, it's a heck of a lot better alternative than where they might have ended up otherwise.
It could be, but it's not a great alternative. But it is an alternative that works for that particular night, and then we need to get them moved into a family home. It's so critical that they interface with an adult who cares and loves and serves and is trained to do this.
To remind you, we have a few minutes left. If you have some questions you'd like to call in and talk about, or some observations, if you've been a foster parent or a resource family member with Family Care Network, give us a call at 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. And I will remind you that this is pledge week or pledge drive for spring pledge drive for KCBX. Federal funding for public media has basically been eliminated. It was cut in October of 2025. And being a member of KCBX will help this organization stay alive, because public funding at this point is not any longer available besides what the local community offers. We would like you to be part of the resources to get us to $220,000 for a spring pledge drive, and then we can stop asking you so much. It's not one of the most fun things about being a volunteer here, but it's important to have that discussion. Again, give us a call at 805-781-3875 to talk on the program, or give us a call at 800-549-8855 if you want to pledge for spring pledge drive to KCBX. Help keep KCBX alive, because the federal government is not helping us anymore. Anyway, that's the end of that discussion for right now. So I'm assuming new parents are always a good resource. You talked about where you start the questionnaire process. What kind of feedback does the family get, or the parents get, when they want to talk about being part of this process?
So we're every step of the way, we are along with these foster parents. I think you could almost say that we almost enter into what I would – it's not just a business relationship. It's also a bit of a friendship with these foster parents. We get to know them very, very deeply. And we kind of know all the nooks and crannies and all the things that they've gone through in their own life. We do home studies on the foster families. So there's – a set of interviews and things that take place with the potential foster parents. So you can't help but become friends with these people and get to know them and really want to see their success. So our job at Family Care Network is to be a platform for foster parents to be successful. And I think we do a really fine job at it. There's a lot of dedicated staff members at Family Care Network who are there strictly to see a foster family flourish and thrive and grow, and not you know, even if they have a tendency to fall apart at the very beginning because it's a lot of stress, we're there to help them up and keep them up. We want to see them become successful foster parents for years, not just one time. It's a really important thing for us.
Sometimes, and we haven't discussed it, and I apologize for that, The difference between a foster parent and someone willing to adopt a child, does adoption come into question at all and into play as a possibility with foster families?
Yeah, I think we are – I would say for Family Care Network, we are looking for foster parents. I think if the – in that process, which is probably a whole nother show, but in that process, you know, there may be an opportunity when a child that is currently placed with that foster family becomes available for adoption, which generally the process would be that either the parents are deceased and are not able to parent, obviously, or it could be that their parental rights have been terminated by the court, and that then that child is legally free to be adopted. In that process, the family who's fostering, if there is no other family members that are looking – that would adopt that child, they may have an opportunity to adopt that child. But I think, to be very clear, that is a potential route, but it's not like the first route when we're looking for families to be foster parents in our program too. So
we've been talking with folks from the Family Care Network, a wonderful resource within our community. And from your work and your illustrations of your work with county social services and the county foster programs, a wonderful connected relationship that's been going on for some time. This is not the first time we have spoken with folks from Family Care Network on the program. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk about this, because it's a resource that you maybe have thought about becoming a part of, and we would encourage you to do so. Jeff, one more time, the website is?
Yep, FCNI.org.
So Family Care Network Incorporated. Incorporated.org. Mm-hmm. Or if you, I can tell you because I test this usually before I do a program, if you just put in Family Care Network, it'll show up. Anyway, as often happens is I make sure that my guests get a chance to have the last word because they know more about their program than I do. And she has been kind of quiet. So, Lupita, you are the development manager for the organization, and everybody's wondering why you have not said anything. And when I asked you on the break about whether or not you were going to talk, you assured me that you would be part of the wrap-up and I should just get out of the way. Please share with us what you have.
Thank you. I often say that I have the funnest job at Family Care Network because I get to work with the community. Community engagement is key for everything that we do, and our success would not be there without the support of our community. So if you can't be a foster parent, if that's not something that you're able to do, please refer a friend, a family member, someone who is. But also, we encourage you to just connect with us if you're interested in volunteering. We do have a couple events coming up. We'd love help with that. And you can always call our office, 805-781-3535. And then always in need of donations. As you guys here at KCBX are making your pitch, we like to make ours, especially for foster care. You know, a lot of these kids are coming in emergency situations. We want to be able to have the funds to support them as they're coming in and making sure they have everything that they need. That can include everything from a suitcase to toiletries. Recently, we supported a foster family with getting laundry set up in their home so that they don't have to worry about that. Or if a kid comes in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. foster parents don't have to run out to the laundry facility in the middle of the night. So it's things like that that sometimes people don't think about. But all those funds support us in making sure that our kids are safe, families are supported, have what they need. And everything from a one-time donation to becoming a FAM, which is our Financial Assistance Monthly Program, those are all key and help us prepare for those needs.
Great. I knew you'd have a voice sometime today.
Thank, yeah. you. Anyway. Thank you.
Yeah. Jim, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts are if you are listening to this and you feel the sense that you want to you feel that calling or that sense that you've been, hey, I've been thinking about this for months or years – give us a call, please, and let us just talk you through what the foster care experience is like. There's no obligation. We're not going to be putting any screws on you. This is something that you have to drive yourself. We're there to shepherd you along in the process. It is time consuming, and it is something that you have to really want to kind of focus on. If you're a two-parent family, this is a really great opportunity that sometimes one parent can potentially stay at home and be a parent and receive a significant stipend to help support the household while the other parent is still working. If you're a single parent and you're interested in being a foster parent, that's also a possibility. If you say you're an online, you do a lot of online vendoring or something like that, or you work remotely completely and you have the capacity and the ability to take care of youth. So we want to remove the barriers for you if you've considered being a foster parent but you think there are barriers for you to do it. Call us, talk to us. We're happy to talk to you about it and walk you through the process. I think the last thing I would just want to leave you with is if you're open to your life being changed, always for the good, consider calling us and becoming a foster parent.
Good last word. Thank you. Jeff.
Yeah.
You're the boss. You get the last word.
You know, I would just want to emphasize that we do partner with our community, right? It's in our mission. And we partner with our local, Department of Social Services and Behavioral Health and also with other community partners just to serve our community well, right? And this is one program and one thing that we do, But the joy of being at this organization and a part of this SLO community is that we are all here to serve together and to raise up those youth that we're serving to a better place, right? And to empower them to be independent and on their own or in a forever family if they do go down the adoption route as well. So, yeah, it's great to be here. So thank you for the time and thank you for your partnership with us.
Yeah, thank you.
How long has the organization been around?
Since 1987. So I'm not a math whiz, but I'm going to say almost 39 years now, right?
It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful resource in the community to hear about and to talk about. It's one of the things, my observation is that it has been under the radar for a lot of situations, which is very good for the families and the children involved, but not good for you recruiting more families and support in the community. So I appreciate you being able to come on the radio and talking about it, because that becomes a factor too. This has been Central Coast Voices. We're glad you're with us today. Remind you, this is also Spring Pledge Drive at KCBX. We would like you to consider supporting public radio KCBX and be part of the process. That's what helps us put on programs like this. This program has four co-hosts that rotate in weeks, and we are all volunteers, but it does take money and time and resources to keep this building operational and the electricity on. So being part of KCBX during Pledge Drive would be very helpful. Thank you very much. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be with you, and she will be dealing with what I would say is a very interesting topic that she is very candid about talking about. She will be talking with a life doula, which is a doula is someone who's committed to helping individuals navigate through the personal care and medical issues as they reach end of life. The day will arrive when all of us will eventually not be here, and having the assistance of a doula to help us understand and work through that is a key factor in the world that we know about. And Chris Kington Barker will be here with a series of doulas that she's worked with before to share that with you. I would encourage you that it's a topic that you may not find fun to talk about, but it's a topic that will affect everyone's life at some point. So listen to Chris Kington Barker on the program next week, and that'll be good to work with. Central Coast Voices is a production of Public Radio KCBX of the Central Coast. Your input is always appreciated. Give us an email at voices@kcbx.org with program suggestions, feedback, and other topics that you may want to share with us. Thanks to listener support is how we get through things here very well. And thank you to our studio engineer, Brad Kyle, who's been with us some time. And he is not a volunteer. And that becomes a big important factor, that if we don't raise money, we don't have the engineering support staff that can be here all day, every day on a regular basis. And thank you to my guests today, Jeff Carlson, Jim Mudge, and Lapita DeCharm. And we've had a great program. Glad we could talk with you and share this. This has been Central Coast Voices.